بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow his guidance until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the fifth matter which invalidates a person's Islam. Before we study the fifth matter, we revise the first four. The author, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimullah, he said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. اعلم أن نواقض الإسلام عشرة. You should know that نواقض الإسلام, those matters which invalidate a person's Islam, عشرة, they are 10. Meaning, the most important and the most common matters which people fall into which invalidate a person's Islam are 10 main matters. Otherwise, there are many other matters which may invalidate a person's Islam. Al-awwal, the first of the 10, ash-shirku fi ibadatillah, is a shirk in the worship of Allah, the Most High. And the meaning of a shirk is sarful ibadati lighayrillah, is to direct ibadah to other than Allah. This is the meaning of a shirk. And the opposite of a shirk is at-tawheed. So, at-tawheed is to single out Allah in worship. Shirk is the opposite of at-tawheed. Sarful ibadati li ghayrillah, to direct ibadah to other than Allah. So, any action, if it is established that it is ibadah, if a person directs this ibadah to other than Allah, it becomes a shirk. So, for example, a person directs dua to other than Allah, it is a shirk. Because dua is ibadah. A person loves a person equal to his love of Allah. This is shirk. Because loving Allah is ibadah. A person fears somebody equal to his fear of Allah. This is a shirk. Because al-khawf is a type of ibadah. And similar to this, slaughtering an animal and as-salah and az-zakah and at-tawakkul, reliance, and other matters like this. And what is the evidence that shirk invalidates a person's Islam? Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive for shirk to be committed. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. And He forgives anything less than this to whoever He wills. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't forgive a shirk. And what this means is, if a person dies upon shirk without making tawbah, Allah does not forgive this person. So Allah does forgive a shirk if a person makes tawbah from a shirk. Just like Allah forgives al-kufr if a person makes tawbah from that kufr. But if a person dies upon the shirk without making a tawbah, then there is no forgiveness. And this is the difference between a shirk and the kaba'ir, the major sins. So the major sins, like for example drinking alcohol, or adultery, or stealing, for example war booty, and other matters like this, it requires a tawbah, and a person should make a tawbah. However, if a person dies without making tawbah, perhaps Allah will still forgive this person from His mercy and His kindness. That is the kaba'ir. As for a shirk, Allah only forgives a shirk if a person makes tawbah before he dies. And if he doesn't make tawbah, then there is no forgiveness for that person. This is the meaning of this ayah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive for partners to be ascribed to him if that person doesn't repent from this action. And also the saying of Allah, إِنَّهُ مَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Verily, whoever commits a shirk with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has made Jannah haram upon this person. And the fact that Allah has made Jannah haram upon a person of shirk shows that it is kufr and it invalidates a person's Islam. Because Allah has only made Jannah haram upon the kuffar. And therefore a shirk is kufr in order for Jannah to be made haram for this person. Then the author, rahimullah, he gave an example of a shirk. He said, وَمِنْهُ الذَّبْحُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. And from shirk is to slaughter an animal to other than Allah. كَمَنْ يَذْبَحُ لِلْجِنِّ أَوْ لِلْقَبْرِ. Like a person who slaughters an animal in the name of a jinn, or slaughters an animal in the name of a deceased person in the grave. And as for slaughtering an animal, the ulama have mentioned that there are three types of dhabh. There is a dhabh which is done in the name of Allah. A person says Bismillah and he slaughters an animal, and this is ibadah. And then there is a dhabh which is done in other than the name of Allah. Like a person slaughters an animal in the name of a wali, or the name of a jinn, thinking that this jinn will protect him. This is shirk and kufr. And then there is slaughtering an animal in the name of Allah, but for an earning. For example, a person slaughters an animal because he is a butcher, because it is his business, because he sells meat. So even though, if you ask him, why are you slaughtering? He'll say, I am slaughtering because it's my business. This doesn't negate at-tawheed. So he's still doing it with the name of Allah, but his objective is to sell the meat, and this is permitted. And also, there's a dhabh lil-ikram. They're slaughtering an animal to honor somebody. So for example, a guest comes to a person's house and he slaughters that animal to feed the guest. It's still done in the name of Allah. This is also permitted. The second matter which invalidates a person's Islam, he said, Rahimullah, man ja'ala baynahu wa baynallahi wasa'it. Whoever places wasa'it, i.e. people in the middle between him and between Allah. Yad'uhum, and he calls upon these middle people, these interceders. وَيَسْأَلُهُمْ الشَّفَاعَةَ, and he asks them for a shafa'a. وَيَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ, and he places his reliance upon them. كَفَرَ إِجْمَاعًا, then this is also kufr by the complete unanimous agreement of the ummah. So this is when a person thinks that I can't make dua to Allah directly. Rather, I have to go through a middle person. And this middle person will take my dua to Allah. So for example, a person calls out to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, O Muhammad, I ask you and I address you to ask Allah on my behalf. This is shirk and kufr. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. So anybody who addresses a deceased person for dua or for a need or for guidance or for forgiveness, even if he believes that it is Allah who is going to forgive, if he is addressing the deceased person, then this is al-kufr. As for a person who is alive, a righteous person, then this is permitted. And this is something that we do often. So for example, somebody is going to do umrah, somebody is traveling, we come to the imam of the masjid, the righteous person, and we say, make dua to Allah for me. This is something which is permitted. As for addressing the deceased and asking them for shafa'ah, intercession on behalf of Allah, this is kufr. And this is the shirk of the Quraysh. This was their shirk. They used to go to the idols, they used to go to the people in the grave, and they used to slaughter animals for them, and they would supplicate to them, and they would prostrate in front of them, and they would hope that this would go up to Allah, then Allah would help them. And yet these people were mushrikun. And this is in many ayat in the Quran. Like Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا. Those people who have taken awliya besides Allah, i.e. the Quraysh, what do they say? مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We don't worship them except that they should take us closer to Allah. So anybody who worships a dead person, or supplicates to a dead person, or addresses the dead person, thinking that this person is a shafa'a to Allah, an avenue to Allah, an intercession to Allah, this is kufr. And this is the first shirk, which was with the mushrikun of Al-Quraysh. As for making dua to Allah bi haqqin nabi, by the right of the Prophet, or by the status of the Prophet, this is an innovation, but it is not a shirk. So for example, a person says, O Allah, I ask you by the status of the Prophet, or by the place of the Prophet, or the right of the Prophet with you. This is a bid'ah, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and also the companions, they never did this action. So therefore, at-tawassul or al-wasila has different rulings. There is the tawassul or the wasila which is allowed and encouraged, and that is making dua to Allah through either mentioning one of his names or attributes. So for example, a person says, O Allah, I ask you because you are Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim. O Allah, I seek intercession to you through your name, which is Ar-Rahim, that you should have mercy upon me. This intercession, I through the name of Allah, the attributes of Allah, this is something which is encouraged. Also, for example, a person seeks intercession to Allah through one of his own righteous actions. So for example, a person is obedient to his parents. A person gives in charity. And then he raises his hands to Allah. He says, O Allah, I ask you because of my charity or because of my obedience to my parents that you answer my dua. This is also something which is legislated. It is correct. Or for example, to seek intercession to Allah through the dua of a living person. To seek intercession to Allah through the dua of a living person. This is also permitted. Again, an example. You go to a scholar or a righteous person, the imam of the masjid, and you say to him, make dua to Allah that he cures me. Then you raise your hands to Allah and you say, O Allah, I ask you to accept the dua of the righteous person on my behalf. I seek intercession to you through the dua of this righteous person. فَشَفِّعْنِي فِيهِ وَشَفِّعْهُ فِيَّ. So accept his intercession on my behalf. This is also something which is permitted. Then there is the intercession or the wasila which is shirk. And this is addressing a dead person, hoping that your dua will be taken up to Allah through the dead person. But you're addressing the dead person. You're saying, Ya Fulan, Ya Wali, Ya Muhammad, Ya Isa. This is a shirk. And then there's the tawassul which is bid'ah. And that is supplicate to Allah, addressing to Allah, but through the right of the Prophet or the status of the Prophet or the status of a particular person who has passed away, but you're addressing Allah, you're not addressing the dead person. This is considered to be an innovation because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never did this. Also, we believe that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the angels and the righteous children, they will intercede on Yawm al-Qiyamah for the rest of the Ummah. But we ask Allah for their intercession. We don't ask them for their intercession. So we don't say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we ask you for your intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah. No. We say, O Allah, we ask you for the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is at-tawheed. Then the third matter which invalidates a person's Islam, the author rahimullah said, "Man lam yukaffir al-mushrikeen." Whoever does not consider the mushrikun to be kuffar, or shakka fi kufrihim, or doubts they disbelief, or worse than this, sahaha madhhabahum, or he validates their aqidah, validates their religion, kafir. This person has also left the fold of al-Islam. For example, a person says, I don't believe that the Nasara are kuffar. I don't believe Yahud are kuffar. I don't believe Abu Lahab was a kafir. I don't believe that the person who prostrates to the idol is a kafir. This also takes a person out of the fold of Islam. Why? Because Allah condemned the Nasara and the Yahud and the Mushrikun to be kuffar. So if a person doubts this or validates their actions or doesn't make takfir upon them, then he has rejected the clear teachings of the Quran. And we differentiated between the kafir asli and the murtad. So the kafir asli is a person who is a kafir by his own admission. He says, I'm not a Muslim. He says, I'm a Jew or a Christian or a Hindu or a Buddhist. I am not a Muslim. This is the one who we are referring to. As for the murtad, meaning somebody who was a Muslim, and then it was judged that he has left the fold of Islam, then sometimes it is possible that maybe some of the ulama consider this person to be a murtad, and maybe other ulama don't consider him to be a murtad. Maybe because they haven't agreed upon the ruling upon this person, or some of them consider the evidences to be established against him, whereas other scholars don't consider the evidences to be established against him. We're not talking about this person. Rather, we are talking about the kafir kufrun asli. And in the Quran, Allah said, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Verily, there is for you a good role model in Ibrahim and those who are with him. إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ, when they said to their people, إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ, we are free from you. وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, and from that which you worship besides Allah, كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ, and we have كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ, we have rejected you, you are kuffar, we hold you to be kuffar. And then we come to the fourth matter which invalidates a person's Islam. مَنْ اِعْتَقَدَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ هَدِي النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَكْمَلَ مِنْ هَدِيهِ. If a person believes that the guidance of somebody else is better than the guidance of the Prophet, or more perfect than the guidance of the Prophet, or more complete than the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa anna hukma ghayrihi ahsana min hukmihi, or that the guidance or the laws or the legislation of somebody is better than the legislation of the Prophet, i.e. the Sharia, kalladhi yufaddil hukm at-tawaghit ala hukmihi, like those people who hold the rule or the laws of the tawaghit to be afdal, better and more virtuous than the laws of the sharia, fahuwa kafir. And this person is also a disbeliever. Meaning, and this naqid, it takes different forms. If a person believes that the sharia no longer applies to this time and this society, this is kufr. Because we believe the Sharia is perfect, and Allah told us Islam is perfect, and from the perfection of Islam is that it applies to every time and every place. So if somebody says the Sharia was okay 1400 years ago, now the rulings of the Sharia, they're not appropriate for our time, this is kufr. Or a person says the Sharia was okay for the Arabs of the Quraysh, as for the rest of the world, then it doesn't apply, this is kufr. Because the Sharia is perfect and complete, and it applies to every time and every place. Or for example, a person says that the Sharia is outdated. The laws of Islam need changing. The punishments of Islam need changing. The rulings of Islam with regards to homosexuality and other matters like this, they are out of date. They no longer apply to us. This is also al-kufr. This is kufr ijma'an. Or for example, a person says that people have a choice. There is a choice for you whether you want to follow the Sharia as a Muslim or you don't want to follow the Sharia. This is also al-kufr. Because every single Muslim has to abide by the Sharia. In fact, every person has to abide by the Sharia. Or a person says that other laws are equal to the laws of Islam, kufr. Or better than the laws of Islam, kufr. Or more complete and more perfect than the laws of Islam, it is all al-kufr. And the ulama, they differentiate between a person who says that the laws of Islam no longer apply, or they are outdated, or the secular laws or the democratic laws are better, more fairer, or more encompassing than the laws of Islam, this is kufr. And between a person who rules by other than Allah, whilst he believes and he accepts that the laws of Allah should be implemented. So for example, let's say we have a ruler of a country, or we have a father in a house, or we have a judge in a court. And instead of him implementing the rule of Islam, he implements a ruling from another system. If you ask him, why did you do this? Do you believe that this law is better than the law of Islam, or the law of Islam is outdated, he said no. He said, no, I believe that we should be ruling by Islam, and I believe I'm doing wrong. I believe I am sinning. However, for a worldly reason. For example, there's pressure on him, or he's scared of sanctions, or he wants his kursi's authority to be established, or somebody's paid him some rishwa, or anything like this, then this is kufrun asghar. So this isn't major kufr. And like Al-Imam Ahmad and other ulama, the narration of Ibn Abbas, kufrun duna kufr, that this is kufr, however it is lesser kufr. And some of the ulama said that this is kufrun amali and not kufrun i'tiqadi. This is kufr of the actions, the lesser kufr, but it isn't the kufr which is of belief. Why? Because this person still believes that the laws of Islam should be implemented. And he still believes that the laws of Islam are superior and perfect. But for a worldly reason, for the love of wealth or his authority or something else, he implements a secular law. And this is the same, whether it's the ruler in a country, or whether it is the judge in a court, or whether it is the father in the house. The only other form of this is when a ruler rules by other than Allah while striving to come to the truth. So he tried to come to the truth, but he made a mistake and he ended up ruling by other than Allah. This person still gets a reward. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمِ, that if the hakim tries his best, strives to come to the correct, وَأَصَابْ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا, and if he is then correct, then he has two rewards. Either reward for sincerely striving, and then the reward for being upon the truth. وَإِذَا أَخْطَأَ, however, if he makes a mistake, فَلَهُ أَجْرًا, he still gets a single reward. Meaning this scholar, or this hakim, he gets the reward for trying to come to the correct judgment. He gets that one reward, but because he made a mistake, he doesn't get any reward for making the mistake. So this person doesn't apply to this ruling or this ayah. And then we come to the fifth matter which invalidates a person's Islam. The author, rahimullah, he said, "Man abghadha shay'an min ma ja'a bihi ar-rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam." A person who hates or detests something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. Walau amila bihi, even if he implements it and he does it, kafir, then this person has left the fold of Al-Islam. So anybody who detests something from Islam, hates something from Islam, or hates something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with, even if he does that action, he has left the fold of Al-Islam. For example, a person fasts in Ramadan, but he hates the fasting and he hates Ramadan and he detests the fact that Allah has legislated fasting. This person has left the fold of Islam even if he is doing the action. And this is based on the ayah in which Allah said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ, and that is because they hated that which Allah had revealed. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, so Allah invalidated their actions, meaning they fell into al-kufr. And the author, rahimullah, notice, he said, مَنْ أَبْغَضَ شَيْئًا, whoever hates anything from that which the Prophet came with. Meaning it isn't a condition that a person has to hate the whole of Al-Islam. Rather, anybody who hates anything from Islam, anything which the Prophet came with, even if he acts upon it, then it is kufr. So for example, let's say a person, he prays Fajr, but he hates the fact that he has to wake up Fajr and Fajr is legislated. Kufr. Even if he wakes up for Fajr, even if it's only one prayer. Or for example, a woman hates hijab, believes in everything and does everything, but hates the fact that Islam has something in it which is called hijab, or that hijab is legislated, and detests this ruling of the Sharia, then this is kufr. Even if she ends up wearing the hijab. And this is because Allah said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ, and this is because they hated that which Allah had revealed. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, and so their actions were lost. The author, rahimullah, he said, whoever hates anything which the messenger came with. Because some people, they say that we will accept whatever is in the Quran. Whatever is in the Quran, we accept and we believe. But what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, we're not going to accept this. His speech can be taken or it can be rejected. As for the Quran, yes, we have to believe and we have to implement. This is also al-kufr. And for this reason, the author rahimullah, he didn't say whoever hates anything which Allah has revealed in the Quran. Rather, he said whoever hates anything which the Prophet came with. So whoever hates anything which the Prophet came with is kufr. And then if you hate something which the Prophet came with, if this is kufr, then of course, if you hate something which is in the Quran and Allah revealed, this is also al-kufr. And the ulama say that ma anzalallah, that which Allah has revealed, is two types. There are two types of revelation. As-Suyuti rahimullah, he said, al-wahyu wahyani, that the revelation, the wahy, is actually two types of revelation. Firstly, the Quran. So the Quran is the direct revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, the sunnah. The sunnah is also revelation from Allah. Because Allah said in the Quran, regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, that he, the Prophet, does not speak from his desires. Rather, it is revelation which has come to him. So any action or any statement which the Prophet made, which is not from the Quran, but he made it to convey the Sharia and to explain the Quran or to explain the Sharia, then this is also al-wahy. We said that anybody who hates something from that which the messenger came with, it is kufr. Why is it kufr? Because firstly, loving Allah and loving the messenger is al-iman. So a person cannot be a Muslim if he doesn't love Allah and his messenger. And loving Allah and loving his messenger necessitates that you love what Allah has revealed and you love that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. And what they ordered and what they conveyed. And therefore, hating anything which Allah and his messenger came with necessitates hating Allah and his messenger. And hating Allah and his messenger is kufr. So we have to understand these steps. The author said, anybody who hates something which the Prophet came with, even if he does this action, it is kufr. Why? This is the step so we understand. Because in order for a person to be a Muslim, you have to love Allah and his messenger. If a person doesn't love Allah and his messenger, the person is not a Muslim. Loving Allah and his messenger necessitates that you love that which Allah revealed and that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. And we said previously that one of the conditions of La ilaha illallah is al-mahabba, is love, and al-qubul, acceptance, and al-inqiyad, complying to the Sharia. So one of the conditions of being a Muslim is that you have to love La ilaha illallah. You have to love Allah, you have to love his messenger, you have to love that which they came with. And therefore, hating that which they came with necessitates hating Allah and his messenger. And hating Allah and his messenger is, of course, al-kufr and al-ridda. However, we have to differentiate between somebody hating something from Islam and somebody finding something difficult to do in Islam. These are two different things. So for example, let's say a person finds it difficult and it's a struggle to fast in the summer days, to wake up for suhoor. A person finds it difficult and it's a struggle to wake up for al-fajr. This isn't kufr. And let's say if that person didn't wake up for fajr out of laziness or because it was difficult upon him, this doesn't necessitate kufrun akbar. Of course, it's a major sin and it's a step towards al-kufr, but we don't say it's kufr. Why? Because the person believes it is wajib and he wants to wake up and he loves the fact that he has to wake up, but he finds it difficult. So every now and again, maybe becomes lazy or sleep overcomes him. This isn't kufrun akbar. But then there's another person who, even if he does wake up fajr, he hates the fact that he has to wake up fajr. And he hates that Allah has legislated this upon him. This is al-kufr. So we have to differentiate between something being difficult upon a person and him finding it difficult, and between somebody hating its legislation. And Allah said in the Quran, when he legislated jihad fi sabilillah, he said, kutiba alaykum al-qital wa huwa kurhun lakum. That al-qital, i.e. jihad fi sabilillah, it has been obligated upon you, wa huwa kurhun lakum. And it is kurhun lakum, meaning you find it difficult. Your souls find it difficult. It's a struggle. And this was said to the believers at that time. So the fact that somebody finds something difficult in Islam doesn't take them out of the fold of Islam. But who hate this thing, this is where is kufrun akbar. And I hope this is clear. He said, walau amila bihi. Even if a person does this action, if a person hates it from Islam, then does the action, then this is still kufr. And this is the action of the munafiqun. So there are different types of people. There are three types of people: kuffar, munafiqun, and mu'minun. The kuffar, they hate Islam inside them, and outwardly they reject Islam, and so they are kuffar. The munafiqun, they hate Islam inside them, but on the outside they will do their actions. And these are the munafiqeen. And this is what they used to do at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they would give in a sadaqah outwardly, but inside they would hate this sadaqah. They would be fasting outwardly, but inside them they would hate the fasting. They would be praying Fajr and Isha and Dhuhr and Maghrib outwardly, but inside them they hate the prayers. This is a nifaq. And this is why the author said that whoever hates something from Islam, hates something which the Prophet came with, i.e. inwardly, even if he does it outwardly, it is still kufr, because this is the action of the munafiqun. And then you have the mu'min. And the mu'min is a person who loves Allah and His Messenger, and loves that which Allah and His Messenger came with, and obeys the sharia, and fulfills the commandments, and stays away from the haram, even if sometimes some deficiency occurs from this person. Still a believer. The wajib, he wants to do it, and he tries to do it, and he loves the fact that it is a part of Islam, but sometimes some deficiency occurs with regards to the wajibat, or that which is haram. He knows it is haram, he accepts it is haram, and he doesn't want to do the haram, and then every now and again some deficiency may occur and he falls into the haram. He's still a mu'min, because he hasn't rejected the fact that it is haram. So these are the different rulings with regards to these matters. And this point, it also shows us the importance of actually loving, not only loving Allah and His Messenger, but loving the rulings and the ibadat of Islam. And this is something which people sometimes forget. That of course we have to love Allah and His Messenger, and we love Islam, but we should also have inside us a love of the prayers. We should love the prayers, and we should love Ramadan. Not only love Allah and His Messenger, but actually love Ramadan. And we have inside us the love of zakah, and the love of hijab, and the love of marriage, for example. And these matters, we have to find them beloved to us. We should love the Quran, even if we're deficient, even if we're neglectful, but we should still love those matters. And if you remember the hadith of that companion who used to always recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, in every rak'ah of his salah, he would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas. So the companions, they complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this sahabi, he only recites Surah Al-Ikhlas. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked this sahabi, why do you always recite Surah Al-Ikhlas? Why only Surah Al-Ikhlas? And he said, inni la uhibbuha li'annaha sifatul rahman. He said, because I love this surah. I love Surah Al-Ikhlas. Why? Because Surah Al-Ikhlas contains descriptions of Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him, inna hubbaka laha adkhalaka al-jannah. That your love of Surah Al-Ikhlas has entered you into Jannah. So we have to not only love Allah and His Messenger, love Islam generally, but even the individual aspects of Islam, we love them and we learn to love them. And this is something that a person has to develop. So it's not the case that straight away a person really loves every single aspect of Al-Islam. Rather, you have to strengthen your love. And you have to learn to love this thing by doing it, by reading about it, and by cultivating yourself to love this thing. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.